Well, we are at Gillette Stadium. Summer is over. That's it, done. And we're on to NFL football and week one for the Patriots. And it is Boomer Esiason time. Boomer is brought to you this morning by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. By Shaw's and Star Market, go shopping, get rewarded. By Town Fair Tire for the best prices on tires. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And Boomer is brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. We'll even get to Boomer's Drake take, which is presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. While we talk to Boomer this morning. Hey, Boomer.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Are we all excited about the upcoming season or not?
We are at Gillette Stadium this morning, and I must admit it was weird to see Bill Belichick coaching anywhere other than here last night.
Yeah, it was an unfortunate game for him last night. TCU is a well-built team. You know, you could see that they have a little bit more speed than North Carolina, and I think a little bit more organization and a little bit more incentive to go in there and beat the hoodie. But, you know, it's like Arch Manning. You know, this is like their first foray into this. They haven't been around it a lot, but I would say it's only going to get better from here.
Well, we're on to Mike Vrabel, and the Mike Vrabel era officially begins on Sunday. And what is this team had 4 wins last year under Gerard Mayo? What's a reasonable expectation when it comes to wins for Mike Vrabel?
You know what? They had 8 wins the combined last 2 years, and they've been horrible ever since Tom Brady left. I would say 9 wins, and I do have them winning a wild card this year. And I think, and the reason I say that is because obviously we all know how much money they spent in free agency this offseason. We all know how much they built up the offensive line. We also know that Drake May should take huge steps under Josh McDaniels. To me, that's the key relationship. I mean, Mike can do Mike's stuff. He can be the head coach. He can be the head coach of the offense and the defense. He can make all the decisions, whether or not to go for it on 4th-and-1, do all the things that Bill Belichick did do when he was at the Patriots and when they were successful. But to me, it's a quarterback-driven league. And I believe that Drake May showed enough last year with a terrible situation around him where he should be able to, you know, get off flying this year. So that's what I'm resting most of my predictions on him. I think they can get 9 wins this year. I think they can win a wild card. I think the Jets are going to be a little bit better, but they're going to be quarterback hamstrung. I don't know what's going on down in Miami with Mike McDaniels. It seems like that thing is really teetering on collapse. And then of course, you got the Buffalo Bills, who are still one of the best teams in the league simply because of their quarterback.
Boomer, you've been there. You know better than anybody. You've been there before. What's the most important thing for Drake May going into his second year that he's going to have to do to get them to be that wildcard team that you talked about?
If I go back and I think about Josh McDaniels and Tom Brady, I think about preparation, Jermaine. You know, Tom knew everything before the ball was even snapped. And, you know, not every player is capable of that type of play. But, you know, I think Drake is smart enough. He's big enough. He's strong enough. He runs well enough, something that Tom did not do. I think that there are aspects to his game that Josh is going to love. And introduction that I've seen or interview that I've seen of him, he seems like he's really into it. And that's the one thing that every NFL team demands of their quarterback: be into it, be prepared, weather the storm, if you will. And I think there were a lot of storms last year that Drake May got up and went back to work. So I appreciate what he went through last year, which means to me, with Josh McDaniels, with the preparation, that he now has a cheat code as a coach. And I think that's the best thing that the Patriots have going for them right now.
Boomer, something that Drake has talked about during this preseason is having to work on not getting too hot when he starts games, not being too jittery. And that's when he feels like he's making the most of his mistakes. So that's something he's been working on. As a former quarterback, how can you get out of that mindset, and how can you kind of correct the mistakes you've been making by getting too hot out of the gates?
You know, it's a great question. We saw this past week with Arch Manning. Arch Manning was playing the game at a fever level. And the key to playing great quarterback is to be calm and to be able to take the big, deep breath and, you know, see what's going to happen before it actually does happen and anticipate. So, yeah, I it's a hard thing to kind of curtail. You want your quarterback to be intense, and we saw Tom Brady many years throw his helmet on the sideline, get mad at himself, get himself back into the game. I don't think Drake has that problem, but I do understand the question that you're asking. It's hard, but he has to have early success. And I think that early completions, a running game that's going to be stabilized, a left tackle that looks like he's going to be a stud. I mean, all the things that are around him this year compared to last year are so different. So hopefully that will allow him to calm down a little bit more and allow him, to see the field a little bit better, make better decisions. And if he doesn't want to throw it, then he certainly has the ability at 6'4", 230 pounds to run it, which is a very rare commodity in the NFL these days.
Boomer, you mentioned Brady. Dan Patrick made waves last week. He said that Tom has to pick a lane, either be an owner or a lead broadcaster for Fox. Where do you fall down on that?
He's one of the greatest players the NFL has ever seen. He can do whatever he wants. I mean, I wish I could do all the stuff that he's doing when I was his age, but I remember that I was limited to one network and one kind of line of work around that network, and that was it. But things have changed. You know, I see Michael Strahan doing two different networks, Fox and ABC. So things have changed, and I'm sure Dan, for whatever reason, you know, feels pretty strongly about that. I don't. I think Tom is beyond reproach. I think he understands his role as the Raiders owner, but I think he also understands that he has to be as objective as he possibly can when he's doing all these games and meeting with all these coaches. So I cannot see him having a meeting with Pete Carroll on Wednesday saying, hey, this is what I see, you know, in the upcoming game. I just don't see that happening.
We know what Jerry Jones' answer is, but who won the Micah Parsons trade?
I think right now in the short term, it's got to be Green Bay. They got to believe that their window is open for a championship and to add a player of this caliber, much like they did Charles Woodson and Reggie White back in the day, makes a lot of sense for them. And by the way, I'm really happy for Micah Parsons. It's not that I'm a fan of his, but what I am a fan of is when players actually get what they want. And very few players actually are able to do what Micah Parsons did and hold strong and hold fast and get the trade and get the contract on top of that. So the next 5 years are going to be really interesting in Green Bay, and they're just going to be as interesting down in Dallas. Remember, you know, one of the reasons why Dallas was so bad last year is that Dak Prescott missed so many games. He didn't even play against the Eagles last year, but I do believe he has a 4-1 record in the last five games. So I think Jerry's expecting that their offense is going to be a lot better than it was last year without Dak. And I think he also felt like, you know, they needed to stop the run and they weren't going to be able to do it given the amount of money that Micah ended up getting from Green Bay. So one team's trash is another team's treasure, but certainly for the player, I'm really happy.
Boomer, you talked about Drake May and his success, and you brought up the young left tackle and Will Campbell. First three games of the season, he's going to have to deal with, obviously, Max Crosby, Chop Robinson, Bradley Chubb, and T.J. Watt in Pittsburgh. When you think about that for a young rookie who's coming into the league having to protect the blind side of a guy like that, what do you think's going through his mind?
I hope those guys line up on the other side. That's probably the first thing. But the one thing, you know, if you watch some of the tape, Jermaine, and I'm sure you did, I mean, this kid's got it. He's got the attitude. He's got the want to. He's got the physical prowess. Maybe his arms are a little bit short, but everything that I've seen from him, I think he's going to be a great one. I really do. This is one of these kids that really loves football. This kid loves to pile drive players into the ground. You know, when you go against a team for the first time in a real game, like, you know, Pete Carroll will have a defensive scheme that maybe Will Campbell isn't familiar with. So he'll see different players and he'll see different twists and stunts, and they'll try to take care of or take advantage of his inexperience. But I think this kid is really going to be terrific. I think it was a great draft pick, especially with the young quarterback now. And the one thing I will say with Moses and with Will Campbell, you would like to think that Drake May would have a little bit more comfort in that pocket, and that's what I'm expecting.
Good time to get this week's Drake take from Boomer Esiason, which is presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. There's some hemming and hawing around these parts about how often he should be running the ball, designed or not, and the risk. Where do you stand on that?
I am whatever gets him into the game. You know, Brian Daboll, the head coach of the Giants, when he was offensive coordinator of the Bills with Josh Allen, there were times during games, and Brian told me this, where Josh Allen would say, you got to call a run. I got to get into the game. I got to get hit. And sometimes when you get hit early, it just kind of knocks all that nervousness that Courtney was talking about out of you. So I think he's a terrific athlete. I think he could do many things on the football field. Of course, you don't want to have him running the ball 10 times a game unless, of course, he's doing it on his own and he's just extending plays. But I think we're going to see the athlete that he is this year, and part of that is going to be him running. I just hope it's not too much, and when he does run, I hope he has the wherewithal to slide, because that's how you preserve your career.
Boomer, Steph Diggs is kind of a head-scratcher for us throughout the preseason. We hear that he's amazing in practice. He's a leader. The guys are all following him, but then he kind of disappears. We don't see him at all during any preseason games. What do you think he can do for this team, especially week one?
He's a head-scratcher for everybody, not just you guys. but when he's on the football field, he is a tremendous talent. There's no question about it. You know, what he did in Minnesota was terrific. It's unfortunately got hurt down in Houston. I think they're hoping that there's still a year or two left where he can go up and make some of those spectacular catches that he made for C.J. Stroud and that he made for Josh Allen. That's the hope. I mean, you got to have some design player that can go out and make plays for you. I still think he's got a little bit left in him, so hopefully he gets off to a good start. The thing about that I always worry about him is he's his body language, and he's not afraid to complain. And you know, young quarterbacks don't need that kind of guy in their ear the whole time on the sideline in the huddle. You want your young quarterback to be able to dictate what he wants, not what the wide receivers want. So that will be interesting to watch to see how that relationship between Drake May and Steph Diggs plays out.
All right, Boom. I know that Cincy got you a Greyhound ticket to get out there, but let's be honest, when you look at the AFC and just even the AFC North, I mean, is there a chance Cincinnati could win that division this year? Is this the bounce back year for them? But you also got to deal with Baltimore, Pittsburgh. What's your take on just the AFC North and the AFC in general? Seems like there's going to be some juggernauts this year.
Yeah, I think the Baltimore Ravens have the best roster in football, and I think it's another MVP-type season for Lamar Jackson. They got a great coach. They got a great system. They got great players. They're going to be, to me, the best in the AFC, followed probably, you know, you got to say, like, Kansas City's going to be there. Denver's going to be there. I believe that Jim Harbaugh, even though they lost Slater, their left tackle, you know, he'll figure out a way to get to 10 wins. But Baltimore is head and shoulders above everybody. Buffalo, of course, is going to be right there. You know, the thing about it is when you start looking at some of these schedules that these teams play, I think the AFC East, you know, is like probably like a middle schedule strength of schedule. The NFC East is just a juggernaut, and so is the NFC North and the AFC North. Both of them, or all three of those different divisions, have really, really tough schedules, at least starting the season. So if the Patriots can get off to a reasonably good start, I still think they can get the 9 wins. I think they're going to be coached up. I think they're going to be really organized. And I wouldn't be surprised if we're sitting here in about, I don't know, 17 weeks talking about who their first round matchup is in the playoffs.
Mm. Well, speaking of that, we'll get you on record when it comes to the Super Bowl, as we always do. And do the Niners have a reasonable chance of playing in their own stadium this year during the Super Bowl?
Easiest schedule in the NFL starting this season. Now, we never know how those things turn out, depending on who you're playing and what kind of condition they're in when you are playing them. But I don't think that they are a Super Bowl team. I still think it's the Eagles over in the NFC. There are a couple of tough teams coming out of the NFC North. It would be interesting to see what happens with the Lions with the loss of two of their coordinators. I can't wait to see what Ben Johnson can do with Caleb Williams. And certainly, J.J. McCarthy's got to be under the gun. You know, they had a great season with Sam Darnold at quarterback last year. Let Sam go to Seattle. Now, all of a sudden, you know, they're going to be a team that will definitely be at least a 9-win team, depending on how J.J. McCarthy plays out. And then the one team that I think is going to be good if the quarterback is healthy, I think the Rams could be one of the better teams in the NFC as well.
Question of the week for Boomer is brought to you by McFarland Energy. the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. Is there a danger that the engagement of the century is a distraction for the Chiefs?
Oh, man, I don't know how you feel about this, but, you know, I think it's kind of sweet, guys. You know me, I'm kind of romantic at heart. Right, Courtney, yeah. Right? I'm on board.
Yes, these are ring. Yep, gorgeous.
Yes,
I'm so with a bunch gorgeous. Of losers on this panel.
Right. Well, you know, the guys that you work with, Courtney, are meatheads. That's what they're
doing. Yeah.
Cynics.
Yeah, we own it.
I have a meathead question quickly. After this weekend, you mentioned Arch Manning's awful performance in week one. Who is more likely to be an NFL head coach again, Bill Belichick or Matt Patricia?
Wow, that's a really good question. I would say I still think Bill Belichick, but you know, not Matt. I think that ship has sailed for Matt. He's got that pencil stuck in his ear, and it's going to be staying there. And if I were him, I would stay right there at Ohio State because it looks like they got some pretty good players.
Yeah. All right, Boomer. Great to have you back every Monday. Thanks for taking the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, listen, I want you guys to pick it up this year. You know, I'm looking for body language. I'm listening for it. And Jermaine, okay. I don't want you taking any of us down. You hear me?
I mean, Wiggy had very succinct questions. I don't know if you noticed. Yeah. I mean, to the point this morning.
I like it. He wrote them down last night. Probably got on ChatGPT.
Yeah. I'll send you some money so you can get to Cincinnati, brother.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, okay. I appreciate it. Have a great day, everybody. Let's look forward to a great season.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Red Sox take the first against the Guardians after dropping the series with the Pirates. 6-4 was the final yesterday with Brian Baio going 5 innings, giving up 3 runs on 6 hits while striking out 4. Alex Cora talked about Baio and the win as featured on last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
Yeah, I think it was a grind for Brian. A lot of foul balls, a lot of lefties. They're going to put the ball in play, and they found holes, but he was able to give us 5. In the past, that's 3 2/3, 5 runs, 6 runs, and that's who he is right now. Give us a chance to win. The bullpen did an amazing job, and offensively, you know, Narby with a big pinch hit there, and Trevor with that bomb.
Don't let summer slip away. Hurry into the Nissan End of Summer Sales event. To get your new ride, visit your local store, NissanUSA.com, today. The Sox have another with the Guardians tonight. First pitch at 6:35. We've got Garrett Crochet on the mound. Shaw McDonough joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 5:35 for the MassMutual pregame show. College football continued their opening weekend last night with Bill Belichick and UNC hosting TCU. The Horned Frogs absolutely destroying the Tar Heels after a hot start for Bill's guys. 48-14 was the final in Chapel Hill. UNC's quarterback Gio Lopez also exited the game with a back injury. And Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading financial option for New England businesses and the families that power them. Northeastern Savings Bank, upgrade to local, member FDIC and DIF.
All right, Courtney, thank you very much. The news coming up next, including how creepy is it? And one dude who was apparently enjoying the Korn concert way too much. Would that be fair to say?
Very fair.
All right, we'll get to that and the rest of the news next.